Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Play Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to another week and a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the Odyssey app, and also the iHeartRadio app. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Chris Plank going to join us. We'll do a little college football fix of the man behind the Sooner Sports Network with Oklahoma. We will get his thoughts not only on the Oklahoma program, but also go around the entirety of the SEC as the college football world is in SEC country right now, as SEC media days did get underway earlier today. And I'll tell you this, when we look at the SEC, this is my thought going into this year. And I'm usually someone that I sit here and I say the SEC is the preeminent conference in college football. If you ask me, is the SEC going to end up winning the national championship? I would probably tell you yes. That's what I usually say on most years. But really, ever since name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal has been running rampant through the sport of college football and really all of college athletics, we have seen the SEC and the Big Ten be on par with one another. And not only that, the last 2 years, the Big Ten has won the last two national championships, with Michigan doing so 2 years ago and then Ohio State doing so this past year. So we all know the Big Ten and the SEC, those are the two best conferences. But as we go into this year, I think since they've done it back to back, it is definitely a fair statement. I think it's the accurate statement to say that going into the season, the Big Ten is the top dog. Now, it doesn't mean that the Big Ten is going to go on a run for the next 5 to 10 years and be the top dog, but it's been kind of the first time in a long time where we've been able to see the Big Ten really pull the rope and kind of assert their dominance and say, no, this is not just SEC versus everybody else. It is now the Big Ten up against the SEC. Those are the two top conferences in college football. Actually, the Big Ten is slightly better right now today than the SEC with what they've done the last two seasons. And now there's pressure that is mounting on the SEC to take that rope and take that baton back and say, no, this is still our college football. But as I go into this season with the SEC, from top to bottom, there's a lot of uncertainty. So I was thinking how we were going to do this today. And I want to give you out of the gate the three best teams in the SEC, the three teams that I think need to take the next step in the SEC, and then three teams that are supposed to be good, but quite frankly, I don't have a damn clue what to think about them. So let me start off with the three best teams. And even with the three best teams, there's uncertainty with all these three teams. So Texas, I think most people regard as the best team in the SEC. Here's the thing with Texas. We know Sark a coach, right? That's the certainty. The last 2 years, Sark has done a really good job with Texas. They made the college football playoff in their final year in the Big 12, and then their first year in the SEC, they made the SEC title game, lost the game they probably should have won up against Georgia, especially when you have the Georgia quarterback injury. And then Texas made their way all the way to the Final Four of the college football playoff, where I understand, I just said Sark could coach, but Sark made a boneheaded decision with that toss play, that pitch play, that ended up losing him 7 yards. So you look at Texas, you know where the money is being spent, you know that Sark is a very good coach, and now the big question is, how great is Arch Manning going to be? Because the last 2 years, we've heard praise after praise and hype after hype with Arch Manning. Is he ready to go win a national championship in his first year at Texas? Because you're going to look at Arch. He's expected to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. He's also expected to lead Texas back to the Final Four. Because 2 years ago, right, they were one of the four teams to make the college football playoff. And then the first year where the college football playoff expands to 12, well, Texas was one of the four teams left standing, as you had Penn State and Notre Dame, and you had Texas, and Texas was going up against Ohio State. So even with Texas, there's uncertainty because we haven't seen Arch Manning go from start to finish in an entirety of a college football season. After that, I think Alabama is one of the three best teams in the SEC this year. I think some people will say Kalen DeBoer, there is uncertainty with him. Yeah, there's uncertainty with him at Alabama. But I've seen Kalen DeBoer, and I'm not going to sit here and make the case about Fresno State, but you sit there and you look at what Kalen DeBoer did at Washington, where Kalen DeBoer at Washington took them to a national championship game. Do I ultimately think Kalen DeBoer is going to have some big success and win a national championship at Alabama? Yes. But right now, I don't even know what Alabama's quarterback situation is going to look like. I'm going to assume that Ty Simpson's going to be the week one starting quarterback. What is the ceiling for Ty Simpson, though? And waiting in the wings is Keelon Russell, the youngster, who I think almost in this day and age of college football, and it's ironic to say this because we just saw Arch Manning sit for pretty much two seasons, I think it's very tough to sit a youngster for a full season. You know, you even look at the Michigan situation with their young quarterback, Bryce Underwood. Some people don't think that Bryce Underwood's going to start week one, but are you going to be able to keep him on the bench the entirety of the season with how much money he's getting paid? Probably not. So Alabama, I would say, is a top three team, and I think their defense is going to be phenomenal this year. But offensively, I don't know what I'm going to be getting out of the quarterback position. And last year, that's ultimately what did Alabama in, was because Jalen Milroe was not consistent enough at the quarterback position. And for the first half that he had up against Georgia, there were ugly games like what he did up against Tennessee where the decision-making was awful. And then we all saw what he did up against Oklahoma, which was the last stand for the Alabama program to get into the college football playoff. And he was putrid in that game. But I still think that Alabama's a top three team in the SEC. And then there's Georgia. I think Georgia's the safest bet in the SEC. They may not be the best team. But if you're saying, Zach, top three teams in the SEC, I gave you Texas, I gave you Alabama, but look at Georgia. Last year, Georgia wasn't a powerhouse. Last year, Georgia wasn't really a team that you feared. And even Georgia, in a year where a lot of people stubbed their toes and then got back up, they still found their way to the SEC championship game. They still lost their quarterback in Carson Beck, who didn't live up to the hype, and they were still able to win the SEC championship. But then you saw the vulnerability of Georgia in the college football playoff, and I predicted it, that they were going to go down to Notre Dame. So look at that just there. I just said who I believed are the three best teams in the SEC. And all three teams in the SEC still have some uncertainty. Like, I have no clue what Gunnar Stockton's going to look like as a starting quarterback at Georgia from start to finish. I don't know what Ty Simpson's going to look like from start to finish as a starting quarterback at Alabama. And even though there is a ridiculous amount of high expectations for Arch Manning, I still don't know what I'm going to see out of Arch Manning from start to finish. So the three best teams to me in the SEC are Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. And even with those three teams, there's uncertainty. Now, here are three teams that need to take the next step in the SEC. It's go time for LSU. Anything short of reaching the college football playoff this year for LSU is an unmitigated disaster for Brian Kelly. Because time and the timing of it is always important. You look at Brian Kelly. he has not made the college football playoffs since going and joining the LSU Tiger family. Now, when it was in a four-team format, you can't crush him, even though he did have a Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels, and we've seen the NFL career that Jaden Daniels was already off to in the NFL, and look what he did in college. But last year, you have your quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier. Now, Nussmeier returns this year. And look, last year, it's kind of weird to say this, but making the college football playoff in a 12-team format, it's not always impressive to me. Because you look at last year, there were a lot of teams that we thought sank to the bottom of the ocean, and they were still able towards the end of the season to find a way to get back to water and start treading water again and give themselves another few weeks in the college football playoff season and the college football season. But you look at LSU not making the college football playoff last year in a 12-team format, that's embarrassing for Brian Kelly. Especially when you factor in Brian Kelly, whether he wants to admit it or not, he left Notre Dame for one reason and one reason only. He didn't think he could win a national championship at Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame, even though they didn't show up early, well, they did show up in the first drive of the game, but then after that, they let the game get away from them up against Ohio State. But in that national championship game, they ended up making it a one-score game late. So Marcus Freeman almost won a national championship at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman won multiple playoff games to get to the college football playoff national championship. What did Brian Kelly do last year? When we've seen three coaches at LSU since 2000 win a national championship, Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron, and then you had Les Miles, Brian Kelly can't even find a way to get into the dance. Now you have Nussmeier back. A lot of people think Nussmeier's the safest bet at the quarterback position this year in the SEC. Your defense, it seems to be improving. You got to go take that next step and make the college football playoff this year. South Carolina, they're another team that needs to take that next step. I thought South Carolina, towards the end of the college football season, was one of, if not the hottest team in the country. They had a really good finish to their schedule. They had a really good showing late. And did they deserve to go to the college football playoff? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But if the committee put them in, you know, when all these teams were bitching like Alabama and Ole Miss, I didn't think Alabama and Ole Miss really had the best argument. It was really South Carolina. So if you just looked at the way that they were playing. So you see South Carolina, you walk into the season with a dual threat quarterback. You walk into this season with a quarterback who's perceived to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Lenora Sellers. I know they lost a good amount from a year ago, but if not now for Shane Beamer, then when? And remember, it's not the daunting task anymore of making the college football playoff. When it's four teams, it's tough to make. That's why I love the four-team format so much. But when it's a 12-team college football playoff, I actually think it's a worse look for a coach to miss the playoff with a very good team, or dare I say a great team, compared to when it was a four-team format, right? Because only four spots. You lose a game or two, you were donezo. Teams lost two games last year, even three, and they still found a way in. So I look at South Carolina, it's not make a four-team playoff. It's not even make an 8-team playoff. It's make a 12-team playoff. And if you can't do that this year, then I don't know if you're ever going to do it. And I'll tell you another team that I think needs to take a next step this year. The three best teams to me in the SEC are Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. Three teams that need to take a next step. I said LSU, I said South Carolina. Another one's A&M. A&M is spending a lot of money. And I really don't know how to evaluate the A&M season from a year ago. Like on the surface, in the regular season, they were 8-4. Mike Elko's first year as the head coach at A&M after serving all his years as defensive coordinator, then leaving for a little bit to go to Duke before coming back to College Station. Well, they didn't show up at all up against Notre Dame to open up their season. All right, then they beat McNeese. They beat Florida. They beat Bowling Green. They beat Arkansas. They beat top 10 Missouri. They crushed them. Good performance. They beat Mississippi State. Then they beat LSU. Very impressive. Then they got smacked by South Carolina 44-20. All right, they beat New Mexico State 38-3. Then to end the season, they lost to Auburn 43-41 in four overtimes. And they lost to Texas 17-7. But I look at A&M this year, the money they spent, Marcel Reed we now know is their guy, and you have Mike Elko, who I think is a good coach. So I take a look. Those are three teams in the SEC, LSU, A&M, South Carolina. You don't make the college football playoff this year, it should be viewed as a disappointing and a failure of a season. Now, I thought about putting Ole Miss in there, But the reason why I didn't take the bait is I do think Nussmeier is better than Simmons from LSU to Ole Miss. I know LSU and Ole Miss can be viewed very similarly, but Lane Kiffin not making the college football playoff last year with Jackson Dart and the way that they just peed down their leg up against Florida towards the end of the season, it's tough for me with what Ole Miss lost to then say, okay, I actually expect them to make the college football playoff this year. So that's why I ended up throwing A&M in there, LSU and South Carolina. I think those teams have higher expectations than Ole Miss. But then I'll give you three teams, and this fits with the theme of uncertainty. Because right there, I just gave you six teams. The three best teams in the SEC and three teams that need to take the next step. And none of those six teams can you definitely look at and say, okay, they are definitely going to be great. Like even Texas. People think Texas is going to be great, but I don't know if they're going to be any better than what they were last year. Now, in theory, they should because they get a better quarterback, but there's still uncertainty there. So then there's three teams I have no clue how to feel about, though, in the SEC. And I know everyone's slobbering over DJ Lagway, and I think DJ Lagway could be a rock star, but here's where I'm just always skeptical about. When people are out on a coach and then they get back in on a coach, it's very tough to run that wave and have success. And usually you get back quicker out on the coach than continuing to stay in on the coach. And when we looked early on in the football season, through the first month of the football season for Florida and Gainesville, what did we all say? We all said it's not a matter of if Billy Napier is going to get fired, it's going to be when. But then because of the structure of the transfer portal, DJ Lagway, that fear of losing DJ Lagway if you got rid of Billy Napier, did run rampant. And I know Billy Napier put lipstick on the pick at the end of the season, but he was already secured in his job status. He already said he was coming on back. And I know that there are higher expectations for Florida than a program like West Virginia, but everyone was out on Neil Brown a few years ago. Then people got back in after one season. People thought, oh, he was going to have success last year, and that wasn't the case. And I just wonder if Billy Napier is kind of this year's version or last year's version of Neil Brown, where it was, oh, everyone, I'm not saying they were fully back in on Napier, but they're optimistic. And then you go back and you see the season and you say to yourself at the end of the year, oh, well, that's why for most of his tenure, I was really disappointed in him. But Lagway is someone that some people believe could be the best quarterback in the SEC and is the best quarterback in the SEC. That's what some people are saying. I got to see him put it together from start to finish. But in the small doses that we saw last year when he played games from start to finish, it was really damn impressive by DJ Lagway. But I don't know how to feel about Florida. I also don't know how to feel about Oklahoma. I like the transfer they brought in from Washington State, the quarterback position, John Mateer. But Brent Venables was supposed to be all that when he was coming over as the right-hand man for all those years with Clemson with Dabo Sweeney, and he's been 6-7, 10-3, and 6-7. So I understand people think that Oklahoma could be a sleeper team. Heck, Hickey's in on Oklahoma, which probably means we should all be out on Boomer Sooner. Now it's Doomer Sooner since Hickey's in on them. But I don't know how to feel about Venables and Mateer this year. And then I'll tell you, I like Josh Heupel at Tennessee. I do. They made the college football playoff last year. Now, they were disappointing. They didn't show up against Ohio State. Remember, the players were running onto the field before the game without their shirt on to show that, oh, the environment and the conditions don't fear them. And then they got smacked by Ohio State. But here's the thing with Tennessee. They lost Dylan Sampson, who's one of the best players, period, in the SEC last year. And now their quarterback, Nico Iamaliava, is at UCLA. And Joey Aguilar, who was at Appalachian State last year, then went to UCLA. And then when Iamaliava got in there, he said, I'm going to go replace Iamaliava at Tennessee. I don't know what to expect out of Joey Aguilar. So I know that Heupel usually makes the program look a little bit better than what they actually are, but I just don't know what to anticipate from the quarterback this year. So it's wild. You look at the SEC, and for years we were just programmed to say the SEC is king, the SEC is great, and the SEC is going to win the national championship. But when we head into this year, I just gave you the three best teams, three teams that need to take a next step, and three teams that I have no clue to how to feel about. And all three of those teams from each level, right, the nine teams total, there's a lot of uncertainty there. So as we head into this year with SEC football, can the SEC be great this season? Absolutely. but there's a lot of uncertainty to me, and that's what's going to make it so much fun in the regular season as a college football fan to watch the SEC. It's because I truly don't know what to expect this year. I don't know what to expect at a lot of these talented quarterbacks. There's a lot of coaches that we're looking at and we're saying, are they just good? Are they great? And there's a lot of teams that we're trying to decipher, are they just good or can they be great for this upcoming season? So when I think of the SEC this year, if we're sitting at the end of the year and they win the national championship, it wouldn't surprise me. If we're sitting at the end of the year and we're disappointed with the SEC, it wouldn't surprise me. Because there's just a ton of uncertainty entering this season in the SEC, and that's the big word for me. All righty, we'll take a timeout when we come on back. One former Alabama quarterback, and now he's a big-time national college football pundit, and he's on this show a ton. He's talking about a Nick Saban return. And supposedly, his source has it on good authority that one day Nick Saban's going to make a return to the sideline. We'll play that for you next, and also we will discuss if we're believing, if we're taking the cheese here, will Nick Saban return to a sideline and coach again to continue his illustrious and, you know, creme de la creme career? Will it be in college? Will it be in the pros? Who knows? We'll give you that answer next.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I didn't expect to be talking about this today, but we see things that are said, and it's our job to react to it. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's listen up to a friend of the radio program, Greg McElroy. He does a great job calling games for ESPN. He also hosts a morning radio show on Jocks FM, Mac and Kublik, with our guy Cole Kublik as well. Greg McElroy bringing up what he's hearing about the possibility of one Nick Saban returning to coaching.
Very much in the know person that I have a lot of respect for and have spent a lot of time around and just really, really admire. They seem to think Nick Saban's not done coaching. I had a similar reaction, but he's pretty adamant that he thinks Nick Saban will be coaching again. Do you buy that?
No.
That's what I said.
So there you go. He will be coaching again. There's very specific wording there. Will be coaching again. Now, you have a good memory this way. This is on the Pivot podcast. This was from early January 2025. Nick Saban, would he prefer to coach college or the NFL?
I love coaching pro ball. I mean, and if I was going to coach today, based on the circumstances in college and in the NFL, I would coach in the NFL because all those things in college have changed. The whole idea of what college used to be is not there anymore. I mean, it used to be you went to college to develop value for your future. Now people are going to college to see how much money they can make. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you changed the whole dynamic of the importance of getting an education, making good decisions and choices about what you do and what you don't do to create value for your future. You changed that whole dynamic.
The conversation of Nick Saban one day returning to coaching was inevitable. Folks, he's been out of college football for one full season. Now this is going to be the second season. And let me tell you, when he's been on game day at the ESPN, he's looked happy. He has. He's looked happy, eating food, smiling, laughing. I don't get why Nick Saban, outside of the fact that he's just addicted to coaching, that's the answer, why he would return to a sideline. But with the NIL system, with the transfer portal system, that's what he said back in January of 2025, that if he were to come back, it would be for the NFL and not college. That's what he basically said to the pivot. So I don't think after a year or two of being out that he's going to say, all right, with not really any change going on in college football, let's get back to work. Let's get the whistle out. Let's get the hats out. And let's start coaching again. Let's put the gloves on and let's get to work in the college football world. I don't think he's dealing with NIL. I don't think he's dealing with transfer portal. And I think if you still need to scratch that itch of coaching, and you must coach if you're Nick Saban, then I think it would be to the NFL. Because that's the one place where he wasn't a success. Right? Look at all the championships that he won in Alabama. He won a championship at LSU. All his other stops, successful in college. The one place he didn't have success, the one place he wasn't great when it came to coaching, was the NFL with the Miami Dolphins. Now, if he got Drew Brees, it could have been a different story, but he didn't get Drew Brees. So if Nick Saban's going to coach again, if he needs to have that whistle, if he needs to have the headsets on the sidelines, I don't think there's a chance he's coming back to coach college. The only place he would coach college, I think, and he would come on back is at Alabama, and Kalen DeBoer is now on year two of an eight-year contract. I don't think he's coming on back to coach college. If he is, it's for the NFL. And still, I don't get why he would do that. And I know what the answer is. It's because he's addicted to coaching. But you're approaching 80. Sit on a desk for once a week. You get paraded around from city to city in the college football world where you're a god. You're the creme de la creme coach. You're the greatest college football coach of all time. And everyone chants your name and everyone has fun with you, be it on game day. Like, you are Lee Corso on game day on steroids, potentially, if you think about it. Now, I know Lee Corso, in terms of his coaching career, right, it pales in comparison in a significant way to what Nick Saban did, and Nick Saban doesn't have the personality of a Lee Corso on TV. But that's your role right now. You know, you're the next Lee Corso on TV, except without the headgear. You say, look at my rings, kiss my rings, and you could have fun. Wait, right, we looked at Nick Saban, him and Belichick, when they get on TV, and what Belichick did with this media tour, which ended up, we all knew was a sham at the time this past year, he was humanized. Nick Saban was humanized this year. Why go back? Outside of the fact that you are just addicted to coaching and it's rooted in your DNA. But why did you leave Alabama? Because it wasn't fun for you anymore. Because in a world where you're king, you were losing control because you had kids coming into your office and saying, hey, I could get this from that school. You know, we just lost in the semifinal to Michigan. Well, you don't even get a break. Nope, it's right back to the recruiting trail, where not only are you recruiting to bring in new talent, you got to recruit the talent that you've already got in to stay. And that's the part where I think Nick Saban got fed up with. It wasn't, thinking, I can't get the kids to Alabama anymore. It's, can you get the kids that you put the work in to actually stay? And I don't believe when you're getting older and older, and now you're going to be 2 years removed, that he's sitting there if LSU becomes open, or if you know, Alabama, they go, oh yeah, DeBoer after 2 years, didn't make the college football playoff, coach, we'll have you back. I don't think he's coming back to coach college. Why even, you're already the greatest college coach of all time. Why go back in an era where you have less power? You have less power now in college football. So if he's coming back to coach, I think it's only for the NFL. I really do believe that. Now, we could have a little fun with this right now. And my gut still tells me that he's not coming back to coach. Let me be abundantly clear. But if he were to come back to coach, I don't think it's for college. I think it's for the NFL. Now, let's look around. Where could he potentially go? Who says you can't go home? Miami Dolphins after this year. McDaniel out, Saban back in. And he gets reunited with Tua Tagovailoa. Jets, Patriots just brought in new coaches. I don't think so. You know what? Call me crazy. McDermott's done a heck of a job with the Buffalo Bills, but it seems like he's reached that ceiling. Now, I don't think that the Pegula family has any desire to move on from Sean McDermott. But if I had to give you one team in the AFC East, it's ironically the team that Saban only coached in the NFL as a head coach. That's the Miami Dolphins. In the AFC North, oh my God. You know what's staring me right in the face? It's not the Ravens, not the Steelers. It's Cincinnati Bengals. If Zach Taylor misses the playoffs this year, Saban, you got the talent in Cincinnati. You got Joe Burrow. You got T. Higgins. You got Jamar Chase. Nick Saban with the Cincinnati Bengals would be fun. AFC South, I think he'll look there. He'll say thanks, but no thanks. Because the only real destination there would be Indianapolis, and I don't think he's going to Indianapolis. AFC West, none of those coaches are going there, going anywhere anytime soon. You got Reed, you got Harbaugh, you got Sean Payton, and you also got Pete Carroll. NFC East, could it be one and done for Shoddy? I don't know how Saban and Jerry Jones would be able to coexist, though. Giants, Belichick has high regard for the Giants. Belichick, Saban, really good friends. If Dayball's out after this year, maybe Nick Saban goes and coaches the New York Giants. NFC North, Bears just brought in Ben Johnson, not LaFleur, not O'Connell, and I don't think Dan Campbell's going to run out of town anytime soon. NFC South, Atlanta wouldn't be a bad destination, I'll tell you. They got some talent there in Atlanta. Tampa Bay just gave Todd Bowles an extension, we know that. Carolina, I don't see why he would go there. And New Orleans, I don't see why he would go there either. NFC West, McVay's not going anywhere with the Rams. I don't think McDonald's, going to get fired after this year. Gannon, who cares with the Cardinals? 49ers, I don't think Shanahan, even if he misses the playoffs this year, is going to get run out of town. So if you want to have this ridiculous conversation, because that's what I think it is. Now, is it crazy that a coach leaves and then wants to come back because he's addicted to it? No. But why Saban left, I don't think all of a sudden that's going to wash away in 2 years and say, okay, now I'm going back to college. So I really do believe maybe there's a desire. Maybe there is a desire to come back to coaching. And maybe there is a desire. And he sits there and he says, hey, I don't want to do the college stuff with NIL and the transfer portal. So let me go back to the NFL. That's the one place where I wasn't horrible, but I didn't have this great success. And maybe you target a few spots like Buffalo, like Miami, like Cincinnati. Those would be some, Atlanta. Those would be some places that just jump out to me in this way too premature conversation with it getting thrown out there of not only Greg McElroy saying that someone in the know told him that Saban will return to coaching, and then also Nick Saban back on the Pivot podcast in January 2025 said he would prefer to coach NFL over college moving forward. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. We will come on back. And when we do return, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that the News Brief, and we'll do that next. But first up, with the latest Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash, here is Marco Belletti. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Omaha. We're going to audible here real quickly. So we were just talking about this Greg McElroy report where he talked to someone in the know that told him that Nick Saban will be returning to coaching. Now, it wasn't specific if it was college or the NFL. I just did a 10 to 15 minute segment where I said that it would only be for the NFL. And I don't think he's going to be coaching in college. Well, Tom Fornelli does a good job covering college football for CBS Sports. He has already penned an article here that has five potential college destinations for Nick Saban next year. Now, I'm going to have Samter and Stu try to guess the five destinations. So in at number five, or I'll say it this way. There are two ACC schools. There is one Big 12 school. There is a Big 10 school. And then there's an SEC school. I would be shocked if either of you could get the ACC school that's listed as the fifth destination. Would be shocked if you could get it. So Tom Fornelli is already speculating the five potential destinations for Nick Saban next year to return to college coaching for. Would you like to take a guess, Samter, out of one of the ACC schools here, and one of them occupies the fifth spot?
I'm going to go with the Florida State Seminoles.
So that's not the fifth one, but that is on the board. Fornelli says Florida State is in at number three. So, Stu, Florida State off the board. Can you guess the impossible ACC school that Tom Fornelli is already speculating?
Going to go very random here because it doesn't seem like it's one of the bigger ACC schools, if you will. So I will go Georgia Tech.
No, not Georgia Tech. You want to take one more guess here? Either of you?
Boston College.
It is not BC.
So I was thinking, like, let's shake it up. Maybe North Carolina if Belichick doesn't pan out. But I'm not going to go UNC. I'm going to say the Louisville Cardinals.
Well, you should have trusted your troll instinct.
No. That was my troll instinct.
Because Fornelli says the first thing people say to discount the idea that Nick Saban will return is that he's too old. This takes an interesting turn. All righty. He'll be 74 this October. Well, so what? North Carolina hired Bill Belichick this offseason. He turned 73 in April. We could elect a 78-year-old man to be president of the United States. This is Tom Fornelli, everybody, not Zach Gelb. But 74-year-old can't coach college football team. Granted, coaching a college football team is far more important job than the president. But regardless, I won't stand for these ageist notions. I say with advances in medical science, 74 is the new 64. And if Nick Saban thinks he's still got it, then he's still got it. So why not take over at North Carolina next season when Bill Belichick returns to the NFL? I mean, the last two coaches they hired in Chapel Hill have had the average age of 70 and a half. When hired, Saban is right in their wheelhouse. So that's Fornelli saying not that Belichick's going to be a disaster at UNC, but he thinks he's going to be off to the NFL. So you got the two ACC schools, North Carolina in at five, Florida State in at three, Tom Fornelli's five potential college destinations for one Nick Saban to return to college coaching next year. There is a Big 12 school in at four. Can either of you get whom the Big 12 school is? Dun, dun, dun.
What about West Virginia?
They just hired Rich Rod back, but it is not West Virginia with Rich Rod.
I thought about that because he did have a history there at West Virginia. Let's look at...
Think
I
money.
Mean, are we going Coach Prime leaving Colorado? We don't want Colorado here?
No. Think money. Money.
Oklahoma State.
No. Think money.
Money.
Money. Money, money, money.
Texas Tech.
Yes.
Lots of money at Tech.
Lots of money at Texas Tech. And Joey McGuire's done a solid job there, but if you get Nick Saban, if you're Texas Tech, you say, hello, Joey. Goodbye, Joey. So there you go. North Carolina 5, Texas Tech 4, Florida State 3. Can you guess the Big Ten school that Tom Fornelli threw out there?
Are we going Michigan State back to his roots?
We are not going to Michigan State.
Are we doing USC to replace Lincoln Riley?
Good guess. You know what?
That's a great guess, actually.
USC is not on the list. They are not on the list. But that would actually be good. Stinking Lincoln out. Hello, Mr. Nick Saban. No. Would you guys like to take another guess?
I mean, there's no chance they're thinking that Sherrone Moore is not going to work at Michigan and he'll take over the rival of his former program.
See, when you say there's no chance, there is a chance.
Number two, Michigan?
Number two, Michigan, according to Fornelli.
He coached at Michigan State. Why would he go to Michigan? It's not going to happen.
Well, he was at one point at LSU, and then he ended up going to Alabama. Just saying.
Honestly, that's not a bet. But LSU-Alabama is a rivalry because they're in conference, but they're not Michigan-Michigan State. It would be as if he went from Auburn to Alabama. That doesn't happen.
Can we be real? And I know the folks with Sparty Party won't be happy to this. to hear this. Michigan State is little brother to Michigan. Now, you know, in basketball, different. But in football, the rivalry for Michigan is Ohio State. Michigan State makes Michigan the rivalry. You know, that's what they do in football. In football, it's clearly Michigan-Ohio State. I'm not thinking Michigan-Michigan State. That's just me. In at number one, SEC. I think this is the easiest one to guess, if I'm just being honest. So, Santa, you want to say there's no chance and there is a chance?
No, this one is too obvious. It's clearly Vanderbilt. Take over for Chris Leah. Hopefully Diego Pavia stays one more year.
It is not Vanderbilt. No, it is not.
Are they talking Kalen DeBoer failure, return to home, pick up the Crimson?
Nope. No.
No.
Yeah. And you were looking at Clark Lee is the Vanderbilt coach.
That's what I said.
You called him Chris.
Oh, did I say Chris?
Yeah, you did. It's Clark. Fine.
Well, you know what? It's almost as bad as when I called Cole Palmer, Ollie Palmer, this weekend after he scored two goals for Chelsea.
Oh, I was like, who? Huh? What? Is that a soccer reference?
It is a soccer reference.
We're talking about football, not football right now. This is football time. Serious football time. It's LSU, by the way.
That was my next guess. It was one of the two, Bama or LSU.
Now, can I just be honest? Yes or no, do you think there's a chance that Nick Saban's coaching at UNC next year? Just give me a yes or no.
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 I would say no as well. Texas Tech, is there a chance?
No.
No.
I would say yes because of the money. First off, let me just be clear. I don't think he's going back to college. But if you tell me he's going back to college, I think there could be a chance. Florida State, yes or no?
I can see that.
I agree, Sam. I can see that.
Man. What's that buyout for Norvell? Remember, because they just gave him an extension off of the rumors that Norvell could have been the next coach at Alabama. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no on that one. Michigan.
I don't see it. I don't see any chance he goes to Michigan.
I don't see it either.
Yeah, I'm going to say no as well.
And by the way, just real quick, 85% of his remaining salary is the buyout for Norvell.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Contract runs through 2031, so 85% is a significant deal.
Can you also look when Brian Kelly's contract expires and when that buyout is? But Brian Kelly, could Nick Saban be going back to his Tiger family? Could we potentially be seeing that? Stu, do you see it?
I see it, yes.
Santer, do you see it?
I could see it, but it is pretty substantial. I'm trying to see what the buyout would be. But I could see it if Kelly's gone.
Do you know how many years are on the contract left?
So he finalized a 10-year, $95 million deal in 2021. So for now, it looks like he's going until 2031. Let me take a look at what the buyout specifically is.
Before you find it out specifically, I just tell you what it is. It's a lot. If we're talking about a 10-year deal.
Yes. But you know what, though? If A&M is going to buy out Jimbo Fisher...
Yeah.
For Mike Elko, then I don't think LSU's going to have a problem buying out Brian Kelly and his family for Nick Saban.
Oh, man. But
there's so much money down there.
But here's the difference. Jimbo was a disaster at A&M. Brian Kelly he's been good. He's not been great. He hasn't done what he set out to accomplish. That's won a national championship. But even if they just go like 8 or 9 wins this year, yeah, it'd be disappointing if they don't make the college football playoff, obviously. But I don't think it's going to lead to his firing. That's
so,
just me.
So the buyout, if he were to get fired by November of this year, is $52 million.
Well, that's not crazy.
No.
It's money, but it's not crazy.
It drops to $43 million next year, then $33, $23, and then $13.
You know what? So you tell me there's a chance.
There's a chance. It's less than the buyout for Jimbo.
Yeah, I thought that buyout would be a lot more lucrative. When you tell me that it was a 10-year contract. Well, he's what, 4 years in? Yeah, this is going to be...
year four.
Brian Kelly's fourth year. So, yeah. All right. I will still stand by this. I don't think he's coming back to coach college. I still think he's going to be on ESPN. But I do think if he says, okay, I want to get back into college, it's going to be for the NFL. And also, Nick Saban, how much more time, you know, like in terms of coaching, do you got left? He's only 73. 73, all right. I thought Coach Saban a little bit older, if I'm being honest. 73, though, you could still go make that run at it. And obviously, we just talked about the UNC stuff. So you're not that far away from 80, but Pete Carroll just got a gig back in the NFL, so why can't Nick Saban? That's just me. All righty, we'll come on back. Going to be talking to Chris Plank. We'll talk some more SEC next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.